taken from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the dawn, brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephrah, and those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This passage, I believe, speaks best of New Year, of a new year coming, and a new year that is challenging, I know, in many different ways, but also a new year in which we have the opportunity to do just what the prophet says here, to arise and to shine. Not that we haven't done that in the past, but it's a new inspiration as to what we're supposed to do. This passage, of course, written by the prophet, proclaiming indeed the fact that when the children were released from captivity of Babylon by the Persians, they would be able to come back into Jerusalem, and that that would be their time to arise and shine and to accomplish many things. But then also the great and glorious good news of the promised Messiah that this passage prophesies about as well. That will be a time when all of God's children will be able to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. And so as we look at this passage, we can see inspiration, the ways in which we can continue to live for God in this new year that is coming upon us, but also inspiration for how we can grow in living for God in this new year, how we can grow and accomplish even greater things in the name of Christ in service to our King. I like what it says right there at the first, arise, shine. That is what we're supposed to do. Others should and will see Christ in you this year through your action, through what you do, and through your witness. That witness can be very interesting at times, even when we don't know that we are being a witness. A few months back, I was attending the South Carolina Criminal Justice Training Academy down at Myrtle Beach, and I was there, you know, with the pro board. And so we had law enforcement agencies were there with all their membership and everything, so it was a big gathering of all these law enforcement officials and everything. And so I was coming from my room and coming down the hallway, and I turned into where the elevators were, and this lady was leaning out looking, and she saw me coming, and she said, come on, I'm holding the elevator. I got on there, and she said, what church do you pastor? And I had my name tag on the lanyard and everything, but it was turned around, so I thought, well, she didn't even see that. And then I realized, oh, I bet she knows my older brother, JB, Jimmy. I thought to myself, well, she knows him, and she knows that I'm his brother and all this sort of stuff. So I said, well, I'm serving Bethesda United Methodist Church in Powdersville. And I said, that's interesting. So you know my brother. You here? What legal law enforcement agency are you with? She looked at me and she said, no, we're just here on vacation. I said, oh, okay. I thought she was part of the big group that was there. And I said, so you don't know my brother? And she said, nope. I said, well, then I don't know you. How did you know that I was a pastor? She looked at me and smiled. And she said, I saw the anointing when you came around the corner. Saw the anointing. I laughed with her. I thought, oh my goodness, that's so crazy. But you know what? That's what the prophet says. Arise, shine. Doesn't say keep your candle underneath the bushel basket, hide it. says, arise and shine so that others can see Christ in you. What a great word of inspiration to us. But others, when they see us, should be able to see the anointing power of Christ upon each one of us, each and every one of us, anointed for the work that is upon us, anointed by God's grace, God's salvation, all of God's redemption, anointed in those ways, so that indeed we know what Christ is, and so that others can see that in us as well. He continues on. These verses are so powerful. Lift up your eyes and look around. Lift up your eyes and look around. Lift up your eyes and see exactly what is happening right here before us, what is present before us. See indeed the hearts that are breaking, the tribulation that people go through. See indeed how God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's healing can be a part of our ministry in this new year, of what we can accomplish. Lift up your eyes and see exactly what God is accomplishing right before us, and see the needs that are right there. And if you see those needs, if you lift up your eyes and you see those needs, then you can rest assured that you don't have to look much further for a solution than yourself. If God is saying, look, see, this is a need, then God is putting you right there to make a difference in the world. Decades ago, in my second appointment, I was in my office one day, and this man came in who was a faithful member of the church, and he had this lady with him, and I didn't know her, and they sat down and started talking to me, and they said, we would like for you to do our wedding. We would like to get married. And I was like, oh, wonderful, that's great, that's just fantastic. And I said, well, you know, let's make the plans and see when you want to do this, and let's make sure the church calendar, you know, all the technical part of it, and then get started with the premarital counseling and everything. And they said, well, there's there's one little problem, and that is she's still married. that's a little problem. That's a big problem. I was like, she's still married, and you're coming and wanting to get married. I said, you know, we really don't do that. We're Methodists. We don't do that. Sorry. they seemed to have understood that. But in their excitement of having found each other, they wanted to go ahead and start making plans to get married. So I said, okay, let's way back this up way far, and let's talk more about your situation and what's going on in your life and everything else. And so she started explaining things to me about her present marriage and how she had left her husband because he was very abusive and very mean and all these other things. And I said, but you're not legally separated, you're not. And she said, no. And I said, well, you know, stay to South Carolina, you have to go through all these steps and everything else. And so we were talking about all that, and I was trying to figure out how I was going to help them see that they really needed to work on making sure her relationship with her husband was over and done with, and then the divorce, and then talk about starting a new life, putting things more in order of things. About then, someone knocked on the door, and I walked to the door and opened it, and a guy was standing there, and I said, yes, may I help you? And he looked at me, and he said in not such a kind voice, may I see my wife? And, you know, I'm a little slow sometimes, but I figured out real fast. He was talking about her, and he was standing there, and the first thing I did was look at his hands to see if he had a gun, because I was thinking we're about to be a part of a shooting here or something. I looked down at his hands, and then I looked up at his face, and when I looked him in the eyes, all I saw was extreme sadness. He was broken. He knew that he had messed up. He knew that things were not right. He knew that everything was a mess in his life. And he was terribly, terribly distressed over it. I asked him to wait, close the door, talk with them. The wife was at first very perplexed, but then she agreed. He came in. They talked. He eventually left. We talked some more just to see where they were going, and they realized they needed to work more to make sure that the marriage could not be salvaged, which as it ended up, it was not, and she ended up getting divorced. And then I was able to officiate their wedding, just so you know the rest of the story. But it was important for me to look up. I was looking at his hands to make sure he wasn't going to be violent. And I looked up and I saw heartbroken person. He knew that he had messed up. He knew that he had caused this situation. He knew that it was his fault. He understood that. He was heartbroken over this situation. And I saw his pain in the midst of that. We don't have to look very far to see pain in the lives of others. We don't have to look very far at all. But the Scripture invites us in this new year to lift up our eyes and look around. Lift up our eyes and see the suffering that is here, that is present here and around our world. And as we see it, then to make a difference in all those things. And then the Scripture gives us that word of encouragement, that word of saying, this is exactly what you will do. It says, then you shall see and be radiant. You shall see and be radiant. Echoing the words, arise, shine for everything that God is calling you to do. You shall see what is happening. You shall be radiant, not with self, but with the power of God present in us through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We shall see and be radiant in all things because we know the truth of God's love, the truth of God's power, the truth of God's presence, the fact that our God is a miraculous God and that God causes miracles to happen. Anne Morrow Lindbergh wrote a book. It's now probably in its 70th year anniversary of the writing of the book. It's called Gifts from the Sea. I don't know if any of you have ever read it. It's still in print. It's a very small book. She was the wife of Charles Lindbergh, who, you know, great and famous pilot. And she went on vacation one day to Florida, a 1 week in Florida, an island off the coast of Florida. And while she was there, she was a writer. And so she wrote this book, Gifts from the Sea. She wrote it based on the shells that she found on the seashore there. And each chapter is a different shell. And she uses different ideas of helping us examine our lives through these shells. The most poignant part of really the theme throughout the book is, what is the shape of my life? What is the shape of my life? I think that's a very interesting way to begin a new year, to examine that. Perhaps we don't have seashells to examine and understand different seashells and how their shapes influence our thoughts and actions by studying them. But we can hear that question. What is the shape of my life? And she uses a line from Socrates, may the outward and inward person be the same. May the outward person that you are be the same as the inward person that you are. I think those two lines that she uses in the book summarize exactly how we are to be radiant for the Lord, to make sure the outward person is a reflection of the inward person. The inward person is truly the reflection of the outward person, but then also to examine. Self-examination is such a vital part of Christianity, of discipleship, to examine what is the shape of my life right now and how can I act to bring about change so that through me, through the shape of my life, God is glorified, so that I might arise and shine in the presence of God and all that God is calling us to accomplish. And he continues on and he says, your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice as we accomplish this whole process of arising and shining. Thrill and rejoice in this new year that is fast approaching as we understand how God is acting, as we claim those miracles that God is going to accomplish in our presence, maybe through us, maybe through others. When we claim those and see those, then we shall thrill and rejoice at the goodness of God, at how God's goodness is indeed everlasting. I had a gentleman in my church years ago in Spartanburg, and he was an older gentleman, very calm, very quiet person, great guy, great church member. And I was visiting one day, and he said, "Did I ever tell you about being a POW in a German concentration camp at the end of the war?" And I said, "No, I don't think you ever shared that with me." And he said, "Yes." He said, "We were in a German concentration camp in Germany, the end of the war." He said the problem was that they had completely run out of supplies by that point. They had so little food that they stopped feeding the prisoners. And he said, "We went for a long time without adequate food, just hardly any food. We were all starving. We all just became skin and bones because they didn't have enough food for themselves. They certainly weren't going to give any to the prisoners." But he said, even in that concentration camp, we began to hear rumors that the war was nearing its completion, that we weren't sure if the Russians were going to free us or the Americans. We weren't sure who would find us first, but we knew that any day, we would be free. But then the soldiers, the prisoners, began to be very frightened. They said, "The Germans will probably kill us and bury us so that no one knows that they starved us to the point of death. They would not want that shame." And so they began to fear that they would be killed as either the Russians or the Americans were coming in to rescue them, that they would be killed and buried somewhere. He said, "So we expected that any day to be executed." He said, "One morning we woke up, we couldn't hear anything, we walked out, all the Germans had fled the camp, and the gates were left standing wide open." He said, "We were free. They didn't kill us, they simply deserted us there, and the next day they were rescued." He said that, "I can never describe to you what it felt like to know that we were at the point of death from starvation or the point of death from bullets, and yet the gates were open, we were freed, and we were to be saved." Arise and shine. There are people that are living in constant fear. People are living in constant fear due to the situations that they face, the turmoil, the anxiety of daily living. God is calling upon us to be faithful in our work, to be strong in our work, to arise and shine, to be radiant in everything that God is calling us to do. Just as Isaiah 61 through 6 is for me one of the best ways to describe a new year, I also find John Wesley's covenant prayer to be a powerful reminder of who we are and exactly how we are to live out our lives. So I invite you now to go to prayer. The prayer is found in your bulletin. And let us pray this prayer out loud together. And I hope that as you're praying it, that you're also stating it as your pledge, as your vow to God this year. Let us pray. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. and the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Amen. Let us now go to our next song.